You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Now I'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Colossians today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here again. Seems like so long ago that we were here in December, and a lot of time have gone by, and a lot of things have happened, and the Lord has preserved us safe, and we thank God for that. After all that travel, isn't it amazing the times we live in that we can just fly all the way down to the southern hemisphere, do our thing and return safely? And this is just matter of fact. Things like this are happening all the time, people traveling around, and we want to thank God for his preservation. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for all that thou hast given us, and we ask as we open up the scriptures that you would help us and to understand and to meditate on these things and use the knowledge that thou hast given and preserved for the edification of the church and for the help of people around us. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Now, this talk that I'm giving you came to my mind as we traveled around San Francisco. And really, when you look at San Francisco, you see beautiful things. I mean, we have beautiful weather there overall, too. And when you look over the Bay Area and you see all these different cities and towns and the sprawling parts of the civilization that's developed there on a beautiful day, going down a fisherman's wharf and walking around, it's beautiful. I mean, as far as the visuals are concerned, it's absolutely gorgeous. And you see people from all over the world right there. They're from everywhere. I even saw some Kiwi people there. I could tell by their accent who they were. And there were people from Britain. There were people from all over Europe. Of course, lots of people from here in America, all gathering to see the sights of San Francisco. At the same time, of course, you are reminded that things are not okay there too, that there is a social problem developing there in a big way. And there's various areas, various neighborhoods of San Francisco that you should be aware of and keep well away from. There's an area called the Tenderloin area where you should avoid. But even though we were in basically a good neighborhood, some mornings when we got up and went for our walk, there were some sights that you would notice. And you see people in various stages of their degradation, their place where I guess they've got to because of drugs. And I was talking, you know, at the beginning here about why this should be. If you would think about a society that was really in tune with the scriptures, then everyone would be in a fellowship. They would have a church home. Now let's just take this church home we've got here. Let's suppose that there's someone in our fellowship, and they've been in the fellowship for years and years and years. They're just like part of the brickwork of the church. And then something happens in their life that they lose work, and they work hard to find a new job, but it doesn't happen for them. And then finally, things catch up to them where they lose their home. What are we going to do as a fellowship? Are we going to just watch this person end up on the road, on the street? No, we're not, right? We're not going to do it. We'll take up our responsibility as a fellowship and look up and help them as much as we can and try and get them going again, right? That's what we do as a fellowship. But what's happened, of course, over time is that people have walked away from God. They have walked away from the truth of the scriptures and ended up not being a part of a fellowship and then coming to grief. And then there is no fellowship around them to come to their aid. And finally, they end up on the street with no income, with no one to help them, and finally give way to their weaknesses in various ways, drugs, whatever else. And it's a sad thing to see. We see all this kind of influence on us. And I was thinking about what we've been studying about in our book of Proverbs. And if you look, for example, at the word law, the Torah, and you'll see, for example, many passages in Proverbs which talks about the law of your mother and the instruction of your father, and to listen and to be careful to these commandments and law that comes to you within this environment. And it is simply accepted and supposed that people are within this environment where they have a family, where they have the influence of society on them, that they will listen and hear the instruction and have the opportunity to say, yes, thank you for that instruction. And the wise person will have an ear for instruction. And, you know, like, for example, here's an example passage. This is from Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. There is a contention against those people who would try and undermine God's law, God's way, his commandments, his instruction. And those that are active with listening to God will contend with those people who say, oh, we don't care about that. We don't care about the Bible. We don't care about God's instruction. There will be a contention. Unfortunately, what we find now is more and more of the Christian faith moving and compromising and not contending on the basis of what God has delivered and shown us. If you look, for example, Israel was given really clear instruction. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 22:5. Very clear instructions were given to the nation of Israel about making a demarcation between male and female. And male and female is it. Now how that expresses in gender is varied. But the classification of male and female is hard and fast, man. You cannot break it. You cannot say that I am a female when you were born a male, or vice versa. You cannot do that. The expression of gender is varied. And how that expression occurs is influenced by the society around you and the preaching of the Word of God. And those that understand the law are going to contend. That's what should happen, right? Instead, what do we do? Well, men become more feminine. I mean, a woman who is really after a real man has got a bit of a job on her hand these days in some places. You know what I mean? Nail polish. What's a man doing with nail polish on? You know what I'm saying? What's going on? More and more feminine. More and more feminine. Why is that? Well, that's because they're listening to another voice. We're seeing this all the time. And, you know, there is a point when you see through all this and you see people as really just being used. They will not want to admit it, but they are just being used. And people will come to grief, an unhappy life, and a society that will fall apart. Notice what Paul says. This has come from Romans, chapter number 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And as I began to read this, I started to see very clearly a note of truth that goes through all of that, and this is the Creator. The Creator and how He made things from the beginning and how He set things up. The information that came and how the law, which in a more general sense is simply instructions that gives order, that gives purpose, and defines things, what's right and what's wrong. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Yep, that's where we're at, friends. Reprobate minds. And if we don't contend, if we don't stand up, then things will slide. More and more things will slide. And it's very clear that this is true. When you look at the Creator, He injected information, law in a more general sense. Law was there. The science of this world wants to talk about evolution and try and promote this idea that matter and stuff has always been around, and then through chance circumstances there's been this gradual change and slow evolution of things, and that we're all just the product of chance, and therefore there is no right and wrong, and therefore we can all say that we can be whatever we want to be. If you want to be a cat, you can be a cat. You want to be a horse, you can be a horse. Yeah. Reprobate mind. All of these things go on. But when we actually go to the record that's been kept, the fossil record, what do we find? We find things like the Cambrian explosion. The Cambrian explosion, where life just suddenly comes about. It appears suddenly in the fossil record. How is that happening? How is that occurring according to your theory of evolution? No, it's not going to work. God said, and so it was. It was created. In Colossians chapter 2, we read this. This is verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul had this great conflict that he wanted to instruct these people. And he knew how important it was that they would be instructed when he was bodily presence when he showed a bodily presence with them, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding. We're supposed to understand. We're supposed to have an assurance which is based upon an understanding. If we come to the scriptures with this idea that this is just a story that has no real meaning and that it doesn't have a structure to it, it doesn't have a law to it, then we will end up in the same place as a lot of other Christians end up, with no real certainty of what will happen in the future. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, look at this, of God and of the Father and of Christ. Isn't that interesting how it says that? The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. God is a spirit. And it says, in whom, so this goes to one of them, and we'd have to go to the local antecedent, which is Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So within the Godhead, there is a purpose. There is a mystery related to God and the Father and Christ. And in that Christ is hid all the treasures. It comes down to this one person, Jesus the Christ. Look at verse 8. And it gives this warning, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the basic ABCs of the world, and not after Christ. And then it goes down, for in him. What you see as you read through this passage is that everything comes down to the Christ as being the place and the holder of wisdom and knowledge. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness. All, it says, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. One of the things that I've come to appreciate is more and more that there is a Trinity. There is a Trinity. God is a Trinity. We don't have that preached much, but it's true. And it needs to be acknowledged that there is a Godhead that has been revealed in the Bible. And it says in verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Yes, there is a mystery of God and the Father and Christ. But in that one person of Christ, there is all this fullness. And coming to know Christ is the most and essential part of our existence on this planet. He is the creator of all these. The Cambrian explosion occurred because Christ made it happen. This is a very cool thing to understand. If you go through all of the places where the word mystery occurs in Colossians, there's these four places here. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The greatest knowledge, the pinnacle of knowledge that Paul brings to us, the revelation of the mystery, what is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What an amazing thing to understand, that in the person of Christ is all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all this understanding. Now, Peter has something to say. I want you to go across to 2 Peter. Just have a look at this. Let me bring this to your mind about the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. And, you know, after this great introduction, Peter, you know, after these first two chapters, Peter finally says, in chapter 3, verse 1. So he's gone through the first two chapters, right, of introductory material. Then in the first verse of chapter 3, he finally says, this second epistle. You know, he's done all this introductory work. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Pure minds by way of remembrance. And we need to remember certain things. We need to remember that God created all things, that He is the designer, He has a purpose, and that Lord Jesus Christ is paramount in the purposes of God, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where? You Christians keep talking about Jesus Christ coming. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. From the beginning of the creation? Is that a true statement? You've got to be kidding me. From the beginning of the creation? No, there's been a huge interjection of the Lord Jesus Christ in all kinds of matters. God, by way of His Spirit. God, by way of His prophets and apostles. For this they willingly, here it comes, are ignorant of. And that's what we have today, my friends, a lot of willing ignorance, to the point where they're trying to make ridiculous statements and no one is standing up and saying, that is nonsense. You cannot become a woman if you are a man. You cannot become a woman. You cannot. And instead, we have nonsense projected onto our children, and those children now are confused and they're making decisions which are will destroy their life, man. I'm telling you, destroy their life. Trying to be something God had nothing to do with. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Yeah, that's that watery judgment right at the beginning. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word of God, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All judgment has been given unto the Son. All. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man, we are fortunate that we have a loving God, right? That he's going to show his mercy and his loving kindness, and extending time for people to change their mind. And God will use people who are faithful in the ministry to help them change their mind. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Oh man, this is really scary, isn't it? And we can see something of the power of God with our modern technology today. We can send our non-earthly telescopes off into a certain direction, and we can look out and we can see these things happen in a smaller way within the galaxies of this universe, where suns explode, stars literally explode. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens be on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, I wanted to show you something about this. You notice that this all goes back to the power of God in His ability to create or to judge. It all has to do with Him as the great creator, the one who has all this power. I want you to go across now to the book of Psalms, and look at Psalm 102. I'm going to skip out a few things because I've got a few more slides, but I want to get to this. Psalm 102 is a very interesting one about the afflicted king, and he sees his position, and he's in a bad position, but he also sees that God is going to intervene in the world. He says this in verse 11, "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." The servants of God look back and see the remnants of the past great empire of Israel and see that, yes, it's in ruins, but God is going to come back. "So that the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." He's coming back. "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." The people that shall be created. There's a resurrection coming, my friends. "For he hath looked down from the height of the sanctuary." Listen to these words. "He hath looked down from the sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." There's coming a time when God is going to have his day. There will be judgment, and there will be this great kingdom coming. "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid..." Now look, verse 25. I'm going to ask you a question. Who is he talking about? "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." It's obviously talking about YHWH. It's talking about the Lord, God. He's the one that did this. "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." The creation is going to be wound up. We read about this by 2 Peter. Peter said there, it's going to happen. "The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Now look at this. We know that's talking about God Almighty. We know that all power was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there's something distinctive about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at Hebrews 1, and I'm going to end with this so you see the point that I'm making, that the law of Messiah must be observed because he is the creator and all judgment has been given to him. Those of you who want to be pulled aside by false philosophy and vain jangling, those of you who want to go aside and listen to the teachings of men of corrupt minds, be aware that all judgment is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the Creator. You better listen to the designer, my friends. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews 1, the writer, whom I believe is Paul, shows you the superiority of the Son. He says this in verse 8. But under the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God. Oh, wait. What's that saying? Wait a minute. But under the Son, he saith, that's God saying this, Thy throne, O God. The Father is speaking to the Son and calling him God. There is a Godhead. Is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God. Oh, well, the Son can have God, can have a God, because there is this relationship within the Godhead. Hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So you have the Son calling the Father God, and you've got the Father calling the Son God. Look at this. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. This is talking about Jesus. And it's talking about God. Who laid the foundation? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the heavens are the work of thine hand. See, he's talking about the superiority of the Son to anything else. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He's talking about the superiority of the Son. He shall remain. He is the Creator. He laid the foundation. Looks like to me, friends, that if you want to know about wisdom, you better go to the Creator, who is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get wisdom and understand your place in His creation. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for all that Thou hast given us in the Scriptures. And we pray, Lord, that as we ponder these verses, that we see the superiority of the Son, where all this wisdom and knowledge is given, and that the great order that we find here as we rightly divide the word of truth and understanding the appointment of Paul the prisoner, who gives us the perfection we need to understand the Scriptures. We ask, Lord, that we would see these things more clearly. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.